So, because we were doing Gaither today, I thought we'd make this as much of a homecoming as we could. What do you think?
We didn't plan for that. God, it's good. Homecoming show.
Homecoming. Yeah. We love a good homecoming. My friend, welcome to the team. Thank you for that. Wasn't that incredible? And Pastor Inike did say, hey, Jazz, would you like another song at the end? I said, wait, I'll just think about that. Yes. So we'll get to hear them one more time. We've only got a few minutes up our sleeve. And what we wanted to do was get to know a little bit of how you tick, a little bit of your heart for the church, the wider church, the worldwide church, really. Born in Tonga, lived in New Zealand, finally made it to the promised land of Australia. And we love having you here. But the anchor scripture for your life comes out of John 15, really, doesn't it? Tell us about what it means. When you think of John chapter 15, and I think we've got it there. We can chuck it on the screen for everybody. When it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That was one of the key words, wasn't it? Remain. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. What does that elicit in you as a response when you read that scripture?
Just before I touch on that scripture, I think this is important that we'll kind of drill into. That song that we just sang, it was, Jesus did not run around on the street of Palestine and proclaim the coming of the church. Mm-hmm. He was proclaiming and inaugurating the coming of the kingdom of God. Mm. And he said, this kingdom of God is, he described it as a reality that exists where he himself exists. And he described it this way, it is a place, that kingdom is a place where those who are stuck find movement again. Those who are captive and feel oppressed find freedom. You know, those who are, lack of movement, the blind will see. Those who are weak will become strong. It's a place where those who are lost are found, and when they are found, it erupts. Celebration erupts. You know, it's a place where captives find freedom. And for me, that whole concept of freedom is the free to be able to to live in his godly calling. And we'll talk a little bit more about their freedom. But for me, exercising his calling comes to the point where, called to do the ministry and to study chemistry and switch on to go into ministry, I still weren't sure what would that look like. I always thought that I made a great choice to follow him. But then I realized that, no, Jesus said, you did not choose me. I have chosen you. Sometimes we think that we choose, that we know, we determine the way. And yet Jesus was the one to initiate the calling. But it's not just a calling to follow me. And as we read further down, that whole concept of abide with me. I grew up in Tonga, grew up in a church, a home. That was great, and all along, I continued to abide. There were times where you kind of drifted off, but there was something within me that was grounded in me that remained. But that remain was kind of on and off until I make the commitment to follow him, study the scripture, go into ordination, call to ministry. And unless we remain in him, because Jesus said later on, we are called to go. It's ascending. But I said, you're going to call to go and bear fruit. Mm. And for me, it's more than just a calling. That whole, he does demand. It's got to be a fruit of your ministry. And sometimes we stay away from measuring it. The fact is, that's something that drives me to know. If I sit with someone who tearful and find comfort, that's fruitful. Mm. It is more than just a person who's found God and come to be baptized and follow Jesus. Everywhere I do ministry, I look for where that kingdom value and measure. Where are those fruits? And I believe that God has called me for these places called kingdom, and explore what are those fruits like when I keep searching those kingdom valleys in my calling.
So the calling really comes out of this scripture here. For I chose you. And there's that sense, and we can go into your story a little more, but there's that sense of Jesus kept reminding you that you had been chosen, that you had been called. The mission of your ministry really comes out of the Luke 4 passage where Jesus stands up in the temple and reads from the scripture, from Isaiah 61. What does that scripture mean to you?
For me, I know there's many different scriptures that we can interpret mission.
Mm.
For me, that's my understanding of mission.
Right.
Jesus was sent and he was anointed to go and preach that good news and share that good news and free the oppressed, run to the poor. So for me, that was the highlight of his mission. He was called, he was anointed, he was fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy. And Jesus say, He who Isaiah pointed to is me. I am who is that person that I'm anointing. And I'm anointing to go. I wasn't anointing to just to hang around. It's that sending mission of him. And we learn from what he did. You know, these places was where Jesus loved to get around. And for me, that's the heart of my mission.
And yeah. So you're born in a very, very small country. Tonga is a bunch of islands that we had to zoom in a long way to find. I don't think I realized how small they were, stuck in the middle of the ocean there. But just over 100,000 people, is that right?
Correct.
In Tonga. You're there until the age of 11. And in that time, your father, David, is a...
Paul.
Oh, I've written that wrong in my notes. I do apologize. Paul was a lay minister within the Free Church of Tonga?
Correct. He was just a lay minister, but he wasn't ordained until he finished, because there were seven of us children, and my older brother David and another brother Kasawa is here. We're seven children, and he was called many times to go, but because he was the only breadwinner worker, he was working in the government, he keep refusing to just be a lay preacher and not going into pastoral ministry, moving around as a missionary, a worker. So in that sense, so until he retired, finished, then he say, "Yes, Lord, I'm going into ordination." And so he was an ordained minister in the Free Church of Tonga.
Mm. You end up in New Zealand at the age of 11 and your big brother is in charge, which... I look at my sons and I think, if I made Noah in charge of them, that may not work out okay. So you're 11 and your father says, this is going to be a good thing for you. But in that, there's a real sense of abandonment that sort of kicks in, because he goes back to work in Tonga and you're left in New Zealand. And that starts a whole journey for you as well.
Correct. 10, 11 years I was there. Early on, it was kind of hard, simply because there were times where I missed my mom and dad, and there were times when I feel abandoned from my parents. I didn't really see what he saw. He had the vision for me, and then, but on the other hand, their separation brought me freedom, because as I start to get to teenage years and my brother's here, I used that freedom to do what I like.
So we can get the real story from them later? Is that?
Yes, all day. I got a lot of hiding from him. For waking school and hanging with the wrong crowd and did the all things. I used that freedom because my mom and dad were not there. So
yeah.
Feel abandoned in some way. But there was that sometimes we use the freedom for our own desire and for our own sake. And so, yeah, it wasn't until 10, 11 years later that we met here with my parents.
And this is the thing. So through that time, the freedom that you found of a young person being able to essentially do what you want, there's still that sense of calling. There's still that sense, that little niggle of the Jesus that chose you. You land in, the whole family lands in Australia in the mid-90s. And at that time, you start to study chemistry.
Correct. I marry Anne. We move here in 1990. Our family start coming here. I met my parents, the rest of the family, we united here. And I thought I'll go back to school to study chemistry part-time, 1991-92. So at the end of 1992, my father keep backing me to become a lay preacher and being a...
within the Free Church of Tonga.
Within the Free Church of Tonga. Okay, Free Church of Tonga, this is where I first learned and experienced freedom. Because when a missionary came to Tonga in 1820s, 1830s, then the heathen god was kind of pushed. First designated king, he was baptized, Christianity was born. They started a church, and then 1885, they start the church and call it Free Church of Tonga. And it was a lot more political to that than spiritual. And Stan will know this, you know. There's a missionary who came in and say, hey, you become independent so that you're free from the overseas country controlling your money and all of everything. So we become free church for that reason. So it's more of a social political reason rather than...
So not really out of a revival movement, it wasn't out
a
of
revival.
A political alignment.
And we know history showed that because the person who started the movement became the first, that missionary became the first prime minister in Tonga. So think about that situation where I grew up. Fast forward that when we met here, my dad's ordained. So that freedom, it was freedom not to mix with other churches, the freedom not to study theologically, speak of the Bible. So there was a freedom, but also control. That freedom bound them with that. And there's so much control in there, so much hierarchy. So think of that now. My dad is begging me to become a lay preacher, like a first step into God toward ordination. And I say, yes, Dad, but then I, under one condition, I'm going to put my chemistry aside and then I'll pursue. Looking to do some study, because I just can't pick up the Bible and preach. So, long story short, what was meant to be a good news turned out to be a bad news.
Now, we'll just grab that for a second, because a lot of people won't understand that for you to say, I'll study the Bible, was actually the wrong thing to say to
your
father.
That's a heresy.
That's a heresy.
That was considered heresy. Do not touch the Bible, we'll just pick it up and preach. So that is a far more worse than, because you can be excommunicated. And you can be take my father, and my father was saying, you know, they're going to take off, the conference is going to take off my ordination because of that. You
so
know
not
that
only,
we do not.
Not only you might bring some shame, you might cause your father to lose his ordination.
Correct.
So that's how big of a deal this is.
It was a huge challenge for me, and it was a big decision to make because, Lord, what am I... I thought it was a good news that I need to learn, and yet... my father, representing the tradition, he was protecting it. And say, why are you doing that? You know we don't accept it. And then I kept going and pursue God's calling. I got accepted to PCV. And for that first year, second year, he was the most unhappiest day that I know. I've been asked a few times to leave and take my position. I say, no, take it if you want, but I'm not going to surrender it. So, and I continue, 93, 94, 95, 2000. They reported to the conference, and they didn't take my position out. And I keep preaching and move it along. But still wasn't the same. Until 2000, I went to Tonga on a conference, and I came back, and I decided, I think it's time for me to move on. This is not the church that I want to have my children raised for a number of reasons.
And that's when you started to go into vocational ministry, and that's sort of part of the story. But you've in this season, you've put away your chemistry studies, you've taken on biblical studies, you've worked within a church called the Free Church of Tonga, but you're still trying to find true freedom in true faith.
Absolutely.
Trying to find that freedom has been your pursuit the whole time.
Absolutely. And I look back, and when I look back, I only wanted to go to Bible study to study the scripture, and I come and preach it, and I go back to my chemistry study. But the Lord keep taking me through that journey. So all along, I'm still searching. So when I decided to go into pastoral ministry, that's when I realized that I had my calling. So I landed up in a Baptist union in 2001, and the journey began. My family was still attending the Tonga Church, Free Church of Tonga. I moved with my family out.
So there's a big transition that's happening there.
Yeah.
And I want to, I mean, there's so many things we could talk about right now, but I just want to quickly jump back into this this idea that you at some point there started conducting a choir. Now, what year was that?
When we got here, 1991. Yes, I've led many choirs. I wrote choral music.
I'm just taking notes for the creative team as well.
It goes back beyond I came here. I just did it for fun.
But, there was one particular choir that worked out fairly well for you because there was a young lady in that choir.
Yes.
And you maybe asked her for a little bit of help and said, you know, can you help me sort of get some photocopies of the sheet music? I think was the line. And somehow slipped a little bit of a proposal in there as well.
A proposal.
A bit of a would you maybe come do a duet with me? Might have been what it said.
And I did choir for church, but then we landed on doing a choir called the ETECs. Evangelical Tongan Angelic Gospel Singers here in Melbourne.
That's fantastic.
We sang together, and Paulini was just happened to be my key lead singer. And then I said, "Hey, would you like to sing?" So it's had such a wonderful opportunity to serve together as a family collectively, and have my family being a part of it, which is a wonderful ministry.
So it's just a shout out. If you want to join the choir, you might find a partner for life. That's all we're saying.
Yeah.
Finding that true freedom has been a real fight for you all the way through. It starts with that sense of the one church you experienced as a child, moving into that season in New Zealand of feeling abandonment and trying to discover who you are, as all teenagers do, and then landing in Australia. And over that period, fast forward to Essendon Baptist, and your father actually decides to start attending the church? Is that?
It was going back to our Fentu Gully. So it started Fentu Gully.
Oh, Fentu Gully, was it?
It's in 1993. So God said, God, 2003. So that was my first calling, starting ministry. 2006, about five. My father said, I'm going to come and worship with you.
And that's a very big deal.
It was, this, remember, going back earlier on, the conversation we had. He just decided he's going to come and worship with me at Fentu Gully. So he came about 2005, and then later on in 2006, my brother and his wife and the children, Paulini and others suddenly come together. I never asked anyone of them to come. I just let them be there. But my dad lead the movement. And then when he came in 2006, we did a call for baptism, and he said, I want to be baptized.
Yeah.
He was coming to 80 years old. So I had the pleasure of baptizing my mom, my dad, my family. It was a household conversion. But standing there, and we were talking about what he's going to wear that day. We showed them all the white ropes and all of that, and he said, I'm not going to, I'm going to wear something else. And I say, feel free if you want to wear something else. So he decided to wear his full suit.
His ministry
English,
garb. His
English, ministry. English missionary came and left in Tonga, and they wear to this day. They wear the full suit with the collar. He said, I'm going to wear this. I said, why? This will help me to, this symbolizes a lot of things. I felt that I've been kept captive in that sort of tradition, that church, thinking that there was the true freedom. And when I came, and he loved taking the scripture verse, and loved taking notes of sermon, we always discussed the sermon, and for him, he found true freedom. And he said, putting this on represent my past, my anger, my bitterness, my disappointment, my sadness that I locked in that prison for so long. Oh. And then, so when I dumped him in the water, when it got out, you know, I never hugged somebody that long in a pool. It was a moment, you know, like the son and the prodigal son run to you. Mm. It was almost the reverse.
You were the reverse, yeah.
My dad
father played coming to the son's arms.
It was my dad played that prodigal son coming, wow. And I stood there proud to be that father that welcomed him. And
I'm guessing anyways, there were a few tears that day.
Oh, it was full of tears. and so he had his conversion in 2006. 2007, August, I asked him to do a prayer for our communion. He said, no, that's not. I said, the elders would appreciate because we're an ordained minister. So he prepared his prayer. And then I started preaching that day just before the communion. And then my dad went down. My family were there. And long story short, he left from there. So my brother found... I went to pick up his clothes from the city, and found his prayer in his pocket. So Saturday the following week, I conducted his funeral upon his request, and we do the communion where Ellen Marr was the director at the time, had to read his prayer. My father, who's dead and represent the past and tradition and custom, in that story, the reverse is almost like Paul's conversion. Mm. If you think of Paul's conversion, when he did what he did, and the Lord appealed to him, and he was blind for a period of time, 3 days, Ananias went to see him, and Paul became experiencing freedom. And that's exactly what my father, because he knew that God called me for a purpose so that he can find salvation through my own calling. And I experienced freedom and experienced that freedom. And my dad's experienced that freedom. And it's the freedom in Christ that matters to me.
Amazing. There's a lot more to the story, but John 15, you've not chosen me, I've chosen you. I've chosen you to bear fruit and I've chosen you to remain. And I think, you know, part of what I hear in your story is this idea of even what you're here at WBC to do is it's nothing new for you. This is what you're wired. This is just who you are. Pastoral care and connection is all about finding ways for people to find that true freedom in their faith, knowing that you've come from a tradition of there was religion and there was Jesus, but there was lots of rules. Yeah. And through that, you found freedom, you found salvation, your family's here with you, celebrating with you today. And we are just pretty pumped to have you on board, mate. I got to say,
thank you.
I've got to say, it's pretty cool.
Thank you.
We want to thank you for being part of our gathering today. And as we said, in coming weeks, we'll be having lots more people available in the room and still online and doing all that kind of stuff. But the really cool thing is that if you have needs, if you have prayer and that sort of thing that you'd like to just sit and talk, we've got some pretty passionate people here that are pretty excited to do that with you. And hopefully you've heard in Pastor Inoke's story that the testimony of his life and his family's life is one of that continual pursuit of the freedom that faith actually brings. And so, mate, what I'd like to do is I'm going to leave and I'm going to get your family back up here to sing. Is that all right?
Sure, why not?
Let's do that. God bless.
The song that we're going to sing now is a very short song, but again, I've been talking about myself, been talking about my father and my family, but we're talking about God's story. Our little story is within God's story, and I'm sure each and every one of us, our stories are in God's bigger story. So we need to praise his name, and we have to give the glory to him, and his name be glorified.
His name be glorified. glorified. His name be glorified. His name be glorified. His name be glorified.
Oh, oh, oh,
Jesus be glorified.
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 Oh, oh, oh,
Jesus be glorified.
Jesus be glorified.
Jesus be glorified.
Jesus be glorified. Jesus be glorified.
Jesus
be glorified.
Jesus be glorified.
We've got to tell them Jesus saved. We've got to tell them Jesus saved.
Tell them Jesus saved. Stand up
for him today.
Today,
share the gospel and his name proclaim.
Stand up
for him today.
Stand up
for him today.
Today,
share the gospel
and
his name proclaim.
Stand up
for him today. Share the gospel
and
his name proclaim.
Stand up
for him today.